This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca, iTunes, and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
A report called Every Class in Every School was recently released by EGAL Canada, and it discusses the results of a national survey of Canadian high school students investigating what life at school is like for students with sexual or gender minority status. The study sought to identify the forms and extent of students' experiences of homophobic and transphobic incidents at school, the impact of those experiences, and the efficacy of measures being taken by schools to combat these common forms of bullying. The study involved surveying over 3,700 students from across Canada between December 2007 and June 2009. We're joined on the phone by University of Winnipeg professor and lead researcher for the study, Catherine Taylor. Welcome to People First Radio, Catherine.
Thank you very much.
Catherine, tell us about how this study began and why.
Well, I've been working in the area of anti-homophobia education for many years now, about 10 or 15 years, and I joined forces with EGAL Canada, I guess it would be 4 years ago now, working with a team that they already had in place, the Education Committee of EGAL Canada, which had some of Canada's leading anti-homophobia people on it, people like James Chamberlain from British Columbia. And this committee had been working on developing a survey of homophobia in Canadian schools and wanted to launch it. And I came on board as an academic researcher who could make sure that the survey was done in a scientifically rigorous way so that it would have as much legitimacy and authority as possible. And the reason that was important was that people across the country for many years by then had been trying to get school divisions to act on this issue of safety for students, and school divisions kept on telling them, the problem isn't that bad in Canada. Maybe it's bad in the States where you have your statistics from, but things aren't bad here. We have safe schools policies. Queer kids are included in that. Everything's okay. And activists, educators, parents of LGBTQ students needed Canadian statistics in order to respond to school divisions and say, no, it isn't okay, and no, our kids aren't being protected by generic safe schools policies. We need something specific on this issue. So that's how I got involved.
Now, two distinct methods were used in data collection. How did you manage to actually survey over 3,700 students?
Yeah, well, we combined two methods, as you say. In phase one, we used a method called snowball sampling, where what you do is just try to get the word out using existing networks to as many of the right people as possible. And we defined right people in phase one as LGBTQ teenagers who were attending high school. So we got in touch with every organization in the country that we could identify that had an LGBTQ youth membership or support group and asked them, please tell your youth members about this. And in that process, we heard from about 1,000 students, and around three quarters of them were LGBTQ students. And then in phase two, we went for the scientifically more rigorous design that would stand up to what's called probability testing. That means statistically sturdy, valid results. So what we did there was ask a random selection of school divisions in each region of the country to please implement the survey in their classes, and not all of them agreed. Some of them said, "Are you kidding? No way." And we replaced those who declined with a second wave of randomly selected school divisions. And we ended up with 15 school divisions who fully participated in every region of the country and used a controlled conditions procedure where students had to log in so no one could fill in the survey twice, that sort of thing. And that way we got our scientifically solid number of about 2,500 students. And we were able to use the findings from that phase to validate the findings from the first phase, giving us just a tremendous picture of what life is like at school for students across the country.
This is People First Radio, only on CHLY 101.7 FM and streaming at chly.ca.
A recent national study has confirmed what many people already knew to be the reality faced by LGBTQ students in Canadian high schools. The study found that LGBTQ students are exposed to language that insults their dignity as part of everyday school experience. And youth with LGBTQ family members are constantly hearing their loved ones being denigrated. LGBTQ students and students with LGBTQ parents are also experiencing much higher levels of verbal, physical, sexual, and other forms of discrimination, harassment, and abuse than other students. We're speaking with Catherine Taylor, a professor at University of Winnipeg, who is the lead researcher for the study. Catherine, can you give us a brief overview of the key findings of the study?
Well, first I should say that we found what we expected to find in a lot of ways, sadly. The results from Canada weren't very different at all from the results that had already been identified in American surveys. What stands out for me is that it's kind of the same old song from one end of the country to the other, coast to coast to coast, as we say in Canada now, and we can say that for this study because we had lots of participants from northern Canada, especially from Labrador. What we found inspired the title. Every class in every school has LGBTQ students who are dealing with a very hostile climate. In terms of striking findings, schools are indeed unsafe and disrespectful for LGBTQ students. Students hear phrases like, "That's so gay," every single day at school. And, you know, it's often said that that's harmless. Students don't even mean homosexual when they say that's so gay. They'll say something like, "Oh, that sweater's so gay," and they don't mean that sweater's homosexual. But my answer to that is, well, how would you like to hear a word that stands for a core aspect of your identity used as a synonym for stupid or worthless every single day? That's what I mean by symbolic violence. Our LGBTQ students are hearing that every day, and it's very depressing for them. They're also getting a lot of directed verbal harassment, physical harassment, sexual harassment. A great many of them identify several parts of their school as unsafe for LGBTQ students to go, and And even almost 50% of the heterosexual students as well said, yeah, there's at least one place in my school where it would not be safe for an LGBTQ student to go. And, you know, these are ordinary, everyday places in school life. There are washrooms, change rooms, and hallways are the top three unsafe spaces. Other findings, sadly, are that in Canada's schools, where we're always talking now about celebrating diversity and the importance of the Charter of Rights and our proud multicultural heritage and all of that, where the official curriculum is saying diversity is wonderful and we're proud of it, the curriculum of the hallways is saying something different to LGBTQ kids. It's saying diversity equals danger, and the more outnumbered you are, the more you're at risk. And what I mean by that is that transgender students, for example, are experiencing higher levels of harassment of all kinds than lesbian, gay, and bisexual students. Female lesbian and bisexual girls are experiencing more verbal and physical harassment even than the gay and bisexual boys, who are also experiencing lots of harassment. Other key findings are maybe a little more optimistic. We found that in schools where the school officials have made even modest efforts to improve school climate for LGBTQ kids, those efforts have worked. So we were able to correlate anti-homophobia policy and students' experience, and the existence of a gay-straight alliance and student experience, and the existence of, you know, even just a little smidgen of LGBTQ-inclusive curriculum and students' experience. And in each case, we found that where those things existed, LGBTQ students suffered less harassment, heard less homophobic and transphobic language, felt more attached to their schools, were less likely to skip school, and felt more optimistic that their school climate was improving. So I was very, very happy to see those findings. And those findings are helpful in providing school division officials with the evidence they need to justify making these efforts, because, you know, often they're nervous about implementing LGBTQ measures. They're nervous about backlash from various parent groups and religious groups and so on. So they more than anyone, I think, have been asking for this kind of evidence, and finally we've got it.
Catherine Taylor, thank you very much. We've run out of time for this discussion today, but I want to thank you for taking the time to review the results of this study with us.
Oh, you're entirely welcome.
And maybe in the last couple of seconds, you were speaking in the direction of how the research results may be used. What is next for this study? Are there plans for the further dissemination of the results?
Oh, there are indeed. Yes, we're just in the final finicky bits of doing the layout work on the final report, which is 150 pages long. It's going to be distributed across the country to participating school divisions, ministries of education, all kinds of stakeholder groups like that. And I'm also going to be leading a follow-up study in which we're going to talk to teachers across the country about their experience in this area and why they don't practice LGBTQ inclusive education if they don't, and why they do and how they do it if they already have some experience.
Thanks very much.
You're very welcome. Yeah.
Catherine Taylor is a professor at University of Winnipeg and the lead researcher for the Every Class and Every School study. You can find the study online at egale.ca, EGALE.ca.
Hey, this is John
and Dale from CEDA.
And when you need help, there's always somewhere to turn. Kids Help Phone is a safe, confidential place you can call anytime, anywhere. Whatever the problem, you can trust Kids Help Phone at 1-800-668-6868 or online at kidshelpphone.ca.
We partnered with Kids Help Phone for our video Rise Above This to let our fans know that they're never alone. If you need help, make the call. Kids Help Phone, 1-800-668-6868 or online at kidshelpphone.ca.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.